I'm Jackie Pierre.
I'm Joseph Lanta.
And we're Two Peas in a Podcast at thecommentary.ca for Monday, April 4th, 2016.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. We took the last 2 weeks off, so we're, I guess, refreshed and rested.
All refreshed and rested and full of information, right?
Yeah. I guess, did you do a big thing at Easter with the family and the sort?
Yeah, we usually have a dinner, and this Easter happened to fall on my brother's birthday, so it was a duo day, dinner and a birthday with a cake, so that was lovely.
Yeah, I forget that Easter changes.
I know, it's so confusing.
Yeah.
There was some little write-up about why the days are different, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I care, but I don't care enough to read that. Right now, I just, like, you know, I'll just know that it's a different day every year.
Yeah, I always get confused because I'll see something in the, like, in a book or something, and they'll say, well, the murder happened, you know, the Valentine's Day massacre or something.
Right.
Or and then sometimes it'll say, it'll refer to, like, an event that happened in Easter. Well, Easter weekend 2013.
It's like, okay, Easter when? April?
Yeah, so
March?
You'd have to figure that out, yeah.
I don't know.
Halloween weekend, I mean, that's easy.
I mean, that's, you know, we can figure, those are dates that don't change. Halloween.
Canada Day weekend,
Valentine's Day, you know.
Yeah. Christmas.
Things like that, exactly, but yeah.
So
either way.
Does WrestleMania happen the same time every year, the same date, if you will? Or I guess it'd have to be a Sunday, right?
I think it's a Sunday.
Yeah.
And it happens, I learned that it actually happens. We're in the same place that they have Super Bowl.
Oh.
Each year.
So it was
gone.
Dallas then?
Yeah, this year it was in Texas.
Yeah.
I watched it last night.
Yeah. So I guess we've talked about wrestling in the past on the show.
Yeah.
It's a big deal at your house?
Well, yeah. My daughter, my eldest, is really into it lately. So WrestleMania has been topic of discussion for weeks around here. So last night I hosted a WrestleMania party.
So is that like a Super Bowl party, but it's wrestling fans?
Yeah, absolutely. It's actually just as big, if not bigger, than the Super Bowl, I'd have to say.
What time does it start on a Sunday afternoon, like 4?
Oh. Well, Jesus.
Like Super Bowl starts at like 3, doesn't it, or something?
Well, this whole thing started at like 1:30, 2 o'clock-ish.
Like a pre-game deal?
Like the pre-shows.
Yeah.
So, it started at about 1, actually, and went on till 5 to 9.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's like a full working shift. You know, I had a couple of friends over, and when he came over and told me how long it was going to be, I was thinking, oh my God, it's like an 8-hour shift. I have to, you know, like, I'm obligated to stick around. Because, honestly, usually when my daughter watches wrestling,
yeah,
or if I have another, like, a friend over that's watching wrestling, I'll just go up to my room and take a nap and, you know, come back down when it's over. But I guess I figured if I'm hosting people, I kind of have to, you know, stick around. It would be rude if I just went up to my room and went to sleep, right?
So what's the spread for a WrestleMania party? Is it like carbs and things like that? And
oh, yeah, just pure
chips.
Garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah. I made some really good nachos with some ground beef and cheese and tomatoes. Yeah, so we had nachos, we had chips, we had pizza, we had pop, we had, you know, an assortment of garbage that I'll be working off fiercely this week in the gym.
Now, do they have, like the Super Bowl, do they have celebrities? Because I remember when I was a wrestling fan in the 80s, they'd have, you know, like Liberace singing the national anthem or something like that, or Ray Charles and things like that.
Well, yeah, well, they had a girl group doing the Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah.
But Shaq made an appearance, Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah.
Snoop Dogg was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame
Why?
The night before.
Why?
Why?
Is he a wrestler?
Well, he's actually, he is a big wrestling fan, and is
well, really your daughter. Heavy. Your daughter's a wrestling fan. Should she be in the Hall of Fame?
She actually thinks that she should be. So let's not even start that conversation, because she could probably give you many reasons why she thinks she should be, but she shouldn't. Snoop Dogg, he is really connected to the wrestling community.
Huh.
His cousin, actually, Sasha Banks. Sorry, I was thinking Sasha Fierce. That's Beyonce. Sasha Banks is a wrestler. Huh. She's one of the divas. And she's his cousin. He actually brought her to one of her first WWE matches.
Huh.
And that's what kind of set her interest in wrestling. And now she is a wrestler.
Yeah, I remember when I was a wrestling fan in, I guess, the 80s and into 92.
Early 90s, yeah.
Yeah, elementary school, I guess, when I was really into it.
You were.
It was a big deal then, but I mean, now it's a bigger deal. I mean, the guys who are the big stars in wrestling are in movies now.
Oh, well, yeah, like The Rock, you know. But for the most part, you know, like The Undertaker, he did a match today, which he's like the oldest. He is the oldest wrestler in the WWE.
Huh.
So, yeah, it was pretty crazy seeing him because, you know, I remember him from back in the day when I was younger. And so, yeah, Shaq made an appearance. Like I said, Snoop Dogg was inducted the day before, so he actually was back on again. Today, Joan London was nominated as the Warrior of the Year Award, you know, fighting breast cancer and et cetera, and all of her activism that she does. It was, you know, I think it was the first WrestleMania that I watched, and I quite enjoyed it. I mean, I'd watch it again. They put on a great show.
There's fireworks and things like that nowadays that they didn't have back in my time.
Oh, yeah, they had, fireworks. That's just the least of it. It was insane. But, you know, to think of the money that they've made, it was one of the biggest stadiums that they've had for WrestleMania. 101,000 people, over 101,000 people.
So what was the big highlight? Did they show the Hulk Hogan sex tape? Did they do things like that?
Oh, God. I would not watch if that was being shown. Oh, my God. Can you imagine? It's traumatizing. I don't know who would even watch that.
Well, someone went to court, didn't it?
Yeah, somebody tried to watch it, which is just, I don't know why anyone would want to do that to themselves, but yeah, I didn't see Hulk there. Not saying he wasn't there, he could have been, I just didn't see him.
Yeah, it's a phenomenon. I mean, I remember back when I was a fan of wrestling, I mean, it was a big deal, and
yeah.
All ages, you know what I mean? People your kids' age and people older.
Oh, yeah, older people, young people, women, men, everybody.
And I guess we know now it's fake, right? I mean, in my time, I had trouble. Well, I was not very bright. Figuring out whether it was real or not, you know?
We were young and, you know, we wanted to believe.
Yeah.
We hadn't been jaded yet, so... You were pure and you believed.
Yeah, I hadn't encountered death, you know?
Right. but now that we know, you know, doesn't change it. It's just entertaining. But yeah, once you realize that it's not real, changes things a bit.
So I brought up death because I want to bring up this guy, Earl Hamner. Earl Hamner,
yeah.
Jr., I guess. If you're a fan of the Waltons or some of those episodes of The Twilight Zone, he created the Waltons. Well, the Waltons was actually based on his life, and he served as the narrator of the show.
Was it really based on his life?
Yeah, he grew up.
My grandpa loved that show.
He grew up, you know, like poor in the Appalachian Mountains, I guess. And,
okay.
And he also created Falcon Crest in the 80s. So I started watching the Waltons maybe 5-10 years ago, and I really liked it. And
oh, that's it? So you're like recent.
Yeah, and okay. I really like the show. The acting's pretty good, and you know it's a wholesome family
it
drama. It's not, you know, I mean there's some violence, but very little.
Very little.
So I kind of grew to enjoy Mr. Hamner's work, and so I looked him up online, and he had a website, and he had a blog that he updated regularly, and there was an email address, and it said, you know, Hamner is available to talk to fans of his work. Just send an email about what you'd like to talk about, and he'd be happy to call you.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, you know, I'll have him on the show. And this is must be 5-10 years ago when I first started watching The Waltons, and you know, it took 5 or 10 years before I actually got serious and doing it, and I regret not having done it, because he died a couple weeks ago at the age of 92.
Right.
And I think it would have been fun to talk to him and you know, talk to him about his work. And
oh, for sure.
So, yeah, so it's one of those things I regret. And actually, the day before he died, I actually thought I should actually get going on this. And so I ordered off of a website this documentary on his life. It's about an hour and a half. It's called Earl Hamner Storyteller.
Mm.
And so I ordered it, and I paid for it through PayPal. And wake up the next morning, find out he died. So it was just bad
timing. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Now, do you think the value of this now book or DVD, thingy you ordered, do you think the value has now gone up?
No.
No?
No. But
did
I looked
you
at
go back and check after?
No, I looked at my PayPal. Well, it cost a lot. I mean, it cost $46 to send to my house.
Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, it's like $25, and then I paid shipping, which is like $25. No, it's less than $25, but I mean, it costs $46 Canadian.
Oh.
And so I do feel bad that well, no, I don't feel, I was going to say I felt bad.
Can I return this?
No.
It's not relevant anymore.
No, I did watch it over the weekend, and I thought it was lovely. If people should get it, because he talks about his life, and I never got to interview him, but, you know, he's there talking about his life and how he created
right.
The Waltons. But I mean, I guess the lesson that I want to impart on folks listening is that if you think about doing something, just do it.
Because just do it, yeah.
I mean, I've had this idea for years, and I never acted on it. And well, one of those interviews I missed.
Right, see, and that's, who knows what could have come of that interview. You'll never know, but... You know, like you said, the main point of all of this is to recognize that our time here is not guaranteed, right?
Yeah, and there is a limit to it. I mean, no one lives forever, right?
No.
And even if you live to 100, I mean, we're 33, 34 now. That's, I mean, we're being generous here. I'm certainly not going to live to 100, but I mean... Even if I live to, you know, 80, that's
right.
Not very much time left.
Well, and even if you are living till 100, how much shit are you going to want to be doing at 100?
That's true.
Probably not a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe you do. But, I mean, still, it's not like I'm going to be get up and, hey, let's go get some drinks at 100. Probably not.
Yeah, I'm not going to be running a marathon at 100. I mean, I don't
no.
even run a marathon now.
Barely now, let alone at 100. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Well, we did talk about, didn't we talk the last time we were on a couple weeks ago about death? And not just, I'm trying to remember now if we talked, I guess we talked off
we
the
might
air. But
have.
But I was just thinking, you know, around the time I turned 30, 29, 30, 31, around that time, I started thinking about my books differently. And,
mm-hmm.
and I'll, because I'd been collecting books since high school.
Yeah,
and then the collection's just grown since. And I guess when I started first buying books and collecting them, I always thought I'd own them forever, however long forever would be.
Right.
Because I don't know when I'm going to die. But I figured I'll own them for at least 50, 60 years. Well, I mean,
hopefully.
If I drop dead tomorrow, somebody will have the books. I mean, even if I had kids, I doubt that they would want to keep them. So
you don't think so?
No, I don't think so. But anyway, like I buy books used at bookshops and places, and sometimes I see people, you know, they sign their names in them, right? And so I can see who owned the book before. And so I do the same, and every time I get a new book, I sign my name inside the flyleaf, and then I add the year, because I figure one day someone will own this book. So I was walking down the hall here at the house, and like I have a book that's 102 years old.
What book is that?
It's a biography of a Canadian prime minister.
Okay.
And then I have another one that's about 120 years old.
Oh, God.
And they've got other books that are not as old, but certainly, I mean, someone bought it when it was published in 1928, signed their name and dated it 1928. And so when I bought it in 2008 or 2010 or whatever, I signed my name underneath. So I figure one day, you know, so I think I've made peace with the fact that my time with the books is limited.
Right.
And it took me a long time to think that. It took me at least 10 years, I guess. But I don't know. It was around the time I turned 30 that happened, that I actually seriously thought of mortality.
Well, I think, now that you remind me, last week, not last week, the week before, I guess.
Yeah.
I would say we kind of spoke about our old friend Haji.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's probably what did it, right? We've lost some people at an early age, so naturally we begin to think that could have been us, right? You've already obviously done that planning. I myself, you know, very limited. I've done some planning just because obviously I have kids. And I don't have a lot of money. I don't really have anything actually, but my life insurance and that that goes to my kids, and it'll be 50-50.
Have you ever thought, because I've been reading a lot about Nora Ephron,
mm-hmm.
and she has this list of things that she wished she had known, you know, like to over tip, to have an extra dessert at dinner, all these tips that she gives. And one of the things she says, if your friends ask you to be, I guess, a guardian of their children when they die, you can say no. I mean, do you actually think of things like that?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And is that a conversation you have with the kids? Like, do you want to live with so-and-so?
Yeah, I did just the other day.
Huh.
And, of course, again, because it's just, you know, situations that's been going on in my own life and around me has just made me more aware of these things. Because, you know, I'd like them to be somewhere where they might be happy when I'm not here. I've asked them, you know. If I'm not around, who would you like to live? Who would you want your guardian to be?
From the WWE, maybe.
No, they haven't. Surprisingly, no. They've actually. It's funny. They asked for my aunt, and so my aunt is obviously older than me. So she's like, well, that's hoping that I outlive you. But
yeah.
I said, well, you better start taking care of yourself then, because you've got some kids to take care of, potentially.
Yeah.
Start saving up.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it is depressing in a way, but I guess these are things we have to talk about at this age.
Oh, well, yeah, because you know what? I've seen the effects of people that don't do this planning.
Yeah.
And what that does after the fact. Once you're gone, you're gone, right? You can't come back and answer all those unsaid questions that are left hanging. So take care of it while you can. I'm seeing and learning that, and you're doing yourself and your family a disservice if you don't. Somebody's got to handle business, right?
Did you buy the deal? I guess it's, I don't know, we're sort of the last couple of weeks, and now we're talking about melancholy things, but well, it's life, I suppose. You know, when people say, well, it was her dying wish that you do this. I mean, do you buy that? I tend to... Even if there's an afterlife, heaven, if you will, has to be really good that they don't care what happens here after they're gone.
Yeah, I don't think they... Why would they?
Yeah.
You're leaving. You should be happy. It's a whole other world. I feel, and who knows, we don't know what happens, but I personally think that once you cross over, I think that the other world being here is like just a memory, not even. Like, it's a whole other world. They may completely forget that existence, right?
Yeah, so
We could have been living before, who knows?
Yeah, well, I figure if I had a previous life, I would know about it.
Well, you might not.
Yeah, so, but
you, I mean, sometimes, you know, you would think so, but I mean, I've seen weird stories of, like, kids that sit there and tell their parents about their life as an actor in the 1930s and, you know, crazy shit. I'd have a heart attack if my kids, if I sat down and my kids started telling me about the flapper days or something. They're like, oh, my God, that might be a problem.
Sounds like an episode of The Twilight Zone that Earl Hamner wrote.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Who knows? But, you know, I've heard of these things happening.
Yeah.
We're all old souls to some degree. I mean, Jesus, look at the things you were doing as a child. Your parents were probably knew already that, I mean, having a kid that's smarter than you, that's quite intimidating.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, we were talking before we started about wills, and I told you that I have a will.
Yes.
I've updated it 3 times, actually, over the last 10 years, and it's quite a lot, not elaborate, you know.
And what did I say about your will?
I can't remember now, but...
Well, I said you're really sticking it to them.
Oh, yeah, there's one family member in particular who I dislike.
Right.
And I was very clear in the will that I dislike them, and hopefully by the time I die, that they'll know that. You know what I mean?
Yes, because in your will, like, you've definitely stuck the dagger in and are cranking it hard.
From
the afterlife.
And it, you know, once I'm in, you know, sitting in a cloud with wings, playing a harp, I still want to stick it to them, you know.
Because we'll assume that's where you're going, somewhere you're sitting in a cloud playing a harp.
Yeah.
But you're gonna still haunt this person. From what it sounds like, it seems like you've really got it out for them. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's you're already going to be busy in the afterlife.
Yeah, so that's why I did it while on Earth, and I'm very clear.
Yeah, man, I don't know who pissed you off.
Oh, well, no one.
I feel sorry for that shameful soul.
No, don't, because they're really just an asshole.
They're horrible. Yeah. I don't feel sorry for them, though.
No.
But, yeah, let's all try not to get to that degree with Joseph, or you'll be straight up cut out of that will and haunted in the afterlife, probably forever.
I'll think of other people to do. I'll report back
notes.
Next week. Yeah, I'll
start
report,
taking yeah. notes. Anyone fucks around between today and next week?
They're next. Yeah,
you're done.
Yeah. Well, I'll talk to you next week, Jackie.
God. Yeah, that's 2 P's in a podcast for Monday, April 4th, 2016,
in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.
And I'm Jackie Pierre. We'll be back in 7 glorious days.